And praise the Lord for this morning. I mean, it's nice preaching on eternal security. I mean, I like messages like that. I like talking about how good God is and all his love and the things that he gives to us. And thank God for those things. Exodus chapter number 19 tonight. Exodus chapter number 19. We'll continue this evening talking about rightly dividing the word of truth and God as he is dealing with man and continues to deal with man throughout the Old Testament. And really how he is dealing with man. And the Lord here, as he has called out Abraham and drew a people unto himself and has brought them down into Egypt, and they grew as a nation. They came out not just a family, but they came out a nation. And God has miraculously, because of his covenant with Abraham, he has brought them out as he said he would. He has delivered them from Egypt by his mighty hand. He has brought them down to the Red Sea to again show them his power and really to show the world his power. Egypt and the rest of the world heard quickly of what God did at the Red Sea. And then they stand on the other side of the Red Sea, and Moses is being led of the Lord, and they are being led by the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. And God has brought them out and brought out his people to establish a kingdom with them as his people. And he is offering to them a kingdom. He is offering to them here in Exodus chapter number 19. He is offering to them a kingdom covenant. And he offers that in chapter 19. Let's go ahead and read verses 1 through 6. The Bible says, "In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. For they were departed from Rephidim and were come to the desert of Sinai and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel." And so God offers this to his people. He has given them a covenant in Abraham. And he says to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob, "I will bless them that bless thee. I will curse them that curse thee. I will give you this land. It will be yours and all that you can see to Abraham and to your seed. I will bless all the nations of the earth through you and through your seed." And he has brought them all. He said that the time is not now. You're not getting the land yet. But the time, there will be a time, and it will be yours. And I will bring you into this land. And so he brings them into Egypt, and he many things that we talked about in Egypt. And he brings them out of Egypt now, an entire nation, being able to see the hand of God, knowing it was the hand of God, knowing that Moses was God's servant, knowing that Moses and Aaron were the ones that were going to be speaking for God and doing miracles for God, and that God was working in all of this, and brings them out, and they find themselves here in Sinai, and he calls Moses up to the mount, and he says, tell him, hey, if you will obey my voice, if you will keep the covenant that I am making with you, then you are going to be a peculiar treasure. You're going to be above all people. You're going to be a kingdom of priests. And God says, I'm offering you this, I'm establishing this kingdom where I am the head and I have men speak for me, but I am your God. I am all things to you. This is what's called a theocracy, where God is in charge. And so he says, you will be all these, and you will be to me a kingdom of priests. And he says in other places, all the heathen are going to know me because they're going to see you and they're going to see my power in you. And they're going to see the laws and they're going to see the commandments that I've given. And they're going to say, no other people have such a great a God. Amen. As you do. And he says, all the world is going to be able to come to me through this kingdom that I've established with my people. And so he's establishing this covenant here with them. And let's keep reading here in verse number 7. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee, and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. And so here we have a covenant that is entered into by both Israel and God. Remember, we talked about this covenant that God made with Abraham, and God put Abraham to sleep and confirmed that covenant by himself with Abraham, if you remember us talking about that. Abraham didn't say, all right, Lord, what do I have to do? What are we doing here? He says, no, this is me, like I was saying this morning, with salvation extended from our faith, extended by grace. God made a covenant with Abraham and said, I'm going to bless you and I'm going to bless your seed. I'm going to bring the seed. It's miraculously going to happen. You're going to have a child. And he did all these things. God did these with Abraham. And by Abraham's faith in what God said, that he was going to have children, and then in believing that God could even raise up Isaac from the dead if he was to sacrifice him like God tempted him with, tested him with, he said, man, your faith, I'm going to impute righteousness to you for your obedience and your faith in doing what I said. But the covenant that God made with Abraham was God making that covenant with Abraham. But here, and what we would say is the Mosaic covenant, because God deals with Israel through Moses, the Mosaic covenant of the law is he comes and says, if they'll listen to my words and obey my commandments and keep my laws and my statutes, then they will be a people unto me and I will raise them, right? What we just read. And he brings this proposition to the people. And the people say, we will do everything God says. Now we know the rest of the story. It's easy to say stuff. You hear a message and, man, boy, the Lord works in your heart and the Holy Spirit. I mean, it's just your heart's just burdened with things. And you say to the Lord, Lord, I'm going to do that. And then we get up and walk out the doors. And, man, it's a lot harder to do it than it was to say it in my seat. I was encouraged. I wanted to do the right thing. And, boy, God helped me. And I made a covenant with God, right? He lets your yea be yea and your nay be nay. And we get out these doors and go, well, that's harder than I thought. You know, we start to do, the next Monday comes and we're like, yes. Tuesday comes and we're like, okay. You know, whatever it is that God has for us, and it becomes a little bit more difficult. And here in verse number 8, the children of Israel say, all that the Lord hath spoken, we will do. And so God establishes this covenant with Israel. And the covenant is conditional upon obedience. That's what it's conditional upon. Obedience. It's not just faith. Well, we believe that God said he was going to do these things for us. He says, God says, if you're going to keep my commandments, if you're going to keep this covenant, if you're going to keep these things. And of course, we understand once we get to Exodus chapter number 20, basically through the end of Deuteronomy, because we get it twice. Those are all the things that God lays out for the children of Israel. That's what he lays out. And what was it conditional upon? It was conditional upon obedience. This was not a covenant of faith and grace. Now, what did God say to you? Again, I'm going to just contrast, and I'll draw off of this morning. All right, off the message this morning. God said to you, if you accept my son, you can have his righteousness. And forget about your righteousness. Your righteousness is, that's why we're in the problem we're in. But if you accept Christ, then you can have the, I'll give you his righteousness if you accept by faith. And what condition did he put on that? No condition. I can't hear what anybody's mumbling anyway, so everyone's like, I'm like, I don't know. I'll just give you the answer. You're welcome. Everyone's afraid. Never mind. He didn't put any condition on you for salvation, did he? He just said, accept my son. And if you accept my son, I'll give you his righteousness, and I'll cleanse you, and I'll give you eternal life, and I'll give you the Holy Spirit of God. All the things we talked about this morning. There was no condition on that. If God put a single condition on it, you'd break it. Right? I mean, we're going back to Adam and Eve in the garden. One thing, just don't eat of that tree. Wow, that tree looks great. No, you can have all of the other trees. I know, I've eaten those trees. But this one, I've got my eye on this one. And isn't that just, isn't that what's inside of us? And we look at our kids like, how could you be this way? And we're like, ooh. Right? The one thing God says, don't do that. And we're like, oh, that seems interesting. And we wonder why our children, we say, don't touch that. Do not touch that. I will smack your hand. You will regret every moment of it. Right? Well, that didn't leave us because we behave ourselves a little bit better when we get older. And so it's a conditional covenant based on obedience. Look in Leviticus chapter 26. I'll give you some Bible for it. Leviticus chapter 26. He writes whole chapters. We're going to look at them tonight. He writes whole chapters based on this. Leviticus chapter number 26. Verse 3. He finishes up some things there in verse 1 and 2. Look in verse 3. If ye walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. Remember, in the promised land, they were getting manna dropped down, right? They were getting manna miraculously delivered to them, and when they crossed over Jordan, the manna stopped. And God said, if you do these things, I will rain on your fields, I will rain on your land, and you will have fruit, and your threshing shall reach unto the vintage, and the vintage shall reach out into the sowing time, and ye shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely. And I will give peace in the land, and ye shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid, and I will rid evil beasts out of the land, neither shall the sword go through your land. And ye shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. And 5 of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight, and your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. For I will have respect unto you, and make you fruitful, and multiply you, and establish my covenant with you. And ye shall eat old store, and bring forth the old because of the new. And I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. And I will walk among you, and will be your God, and ye shall be my people. I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, that ye should not be their bondmen, and I have broken the bonds of your yoke and made you go upright. That sounds pretty good. Amen. That sounds like God is saying, hey, I'm going to keep my end of the bargain and more. Verse 14. But if you will not hearken unto me and will not do all these commandments, and if ye shall despise my statutes, or if your soul abhor my judgments, so that ye will not do all my commandments, but that ye break my covenant, I will also do this thing unto you. I will even appoint over you terror, consumption, and the burning ague that shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart. Ye shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall see it. And I will set my face against you, and ye shall be slain before your enemies. They that hate you shall reign over you, and ye shall flee when none pursueth you. And if ye will not yet for all this hearken unto me, then I will punish you 7 times more for your sins. And I will break the pride of your power, and I will make your heaven as iron and your earth as brass, and your strength shall be spent in vain. For your land shall not yield her increase, neither shall the trees of the land yield their fruits. What is it based on? It's based on them keeping the covenant that they made with the Lord. What is that covenant? Obeying my statutes, obeying my commandments. Verse 21, and if ye walk contrary unto me, and hearken not unto me, and on and on and on and on and on, he comes down through here in Leviticus chapter number 26. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse number 1, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. That sounds familiar. That sounds like Exodus. And all these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, increase of thy kine and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face, and they shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee 7 ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses and in all that thou settest thine hand unto, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Amen. And the Lord shall establish thee in holy people unto himself. Exodus 19. As he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. And all people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, and in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and the fruit of the ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. And the Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto the land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. Thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day to the right hand or to the left, or go after other gods to serve them. And so God is saying all of these blessings, and he's saying it over and over again. He's repeating Exodus 19. He said, I'll bring you here, and I'll put you in this place, and I'll do these things, and I'll bring all nations unto you, and you will give unto all nations because of the plenteousness that you have. If you obey my commandments, if you keep my covenant, if you do what I've said to do, then I will bring all these things to you. And he's doing this out of his mercy, because remember in Deuteronomy, this is the second generation. The first generation has already not received the promise of the land. And what did he do for there? Conditional. What did he do? You're all going to die. You're going to wander 1 year for every day that you spied out the land. And all of you that refuse to go into the land except for Joshua and Caleb, I'm going to wipe you out in the wilderness. I'm going to take your life. Whoa. That was after God was already establishing his law in the Old Testament as they wandered around in the wilderness. We found this man picking up sticks. What should we do? I don't know. I think I know, but I want to go to God. Okay, go to God. God says, kill him. Because I said that you're not supposed to do any work on the Sabbath day. Whoa. That means God's pretty serious. Yeah. What was it based on? Picking up sticks. That's what it was based on. He picked, why? Because the covenant that he said with his people, and we'll eventually look at it, this is a corporate covenant that God's making with his people, and we find individual responsibility within that corporate promise. We become part of the church when we get saved. And at the rapture, we're going out of here.
Amen.
And we're going to stand independently before God. Every man shall stand before God. Everyone will give an account of what he has done. Individually. You don't get to stand with your husband or wife. You don't get to stand with dad or the kids. You don't get to stand with your pastor or your Sunday school teacher. You stand by yourself to give an account for what God desires of us. And so God was making a corporate covenant with Israel. And yet inside this corporate covenant, there they found individual responsibility for their sins. And not only that, but with Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, and others, they find out that their individual sin, sometimes the earth opened up and took families, is what happened. Why? Because God was holding individuals and groups responsible inside of this corporate covenant. It wasn't just blanket, as long as most people do good, then we'll all be fine. No, that's not how it worked. There was individual responsibility. But again, we'll look at that later. This is the Lord dealing with Israel. Now look in verse 15, 28:15. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of the land and the increase of thy kine and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke in all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed, and thou shalt perish quickly because of the wickedness of thy doings, wherefore thou hast forsaken me. Look in verse 25. And the Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them, and thou shalt be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. Look in verse 36. The Lord shall bring thee and thy king, which thou shalt set over thee, into a nation which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, and there shalt thou serve other gods, wood and stone. And thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all nations, whither the Lord shall lead thee. Look down in verse number 49. And the Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far, and the end of the from the end of the earth, as swift as an eagle flyeth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand, a nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of old, nor show favor to the young. And he shall eat the fruit of thy cattle and the fruit of thy land until thou be destroyed, which also shall not leave thee either corn, wine, or oil, or the increase of thy kine, or flocks of thy sheep, until he have destroyed thee. And he shall besiege thee in all thy gates, until thy high and fenced walls come down, wherein thou trustest throughout all the land. And he shall besiege thee in all thy gates throughout all thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Hath given thee, excuse me. And thou shalt eat the fruit of thine own body. This gets pretty gruesome. The flesh of thy sons and of thy daughters, which the Lord thy God hath given thee, in the siege and in the straitness wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee. So that the man that is tender among you and very delicate. His eyes shall be evil toward his brother and toward the wife of his bosom and toward the remnant of his children, which he shall leave, so that he will not give to any of them of the flesh of his children whom he shall eat, because he hath nothing left himself, nothing left him in the siege and in the straitness wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee in all thy gates. And the tender and delicate woman among you, which would not adventure to set the sole of her foot upon the ground for delicateness and for tenderness, her eyes shall be evil toward the husband of her bosom and toward her son and toward her daughter and toward her young one that cometh out from between her feet and toward her children, which she shall bear, for she shall eat them for want of all things secretly in the siege and straitness wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee in thy gates. What happens? Wow, God promised all these good things, and he says, listen, if you do not keep my covenant, if you do not keep my commandments, I'm going to bring these cursings upon you to the place where they might have been able to understand some of these things. And then when you're telling a young woman that you're going to eat your own children that you bore from between your feet, they thought to themselves, there's no chance that that could ever happen. And it did happen, because we have the story. It did happen in Kings. They were deciding whose children they were going to eat one day, and then they were going to eat the next child the next day. And these things did come to pass. Why? Because this covenant that God established with them was a covenant conditioned upon obedience. Deuteronomy chapter number 30. Deuteronomy 30, with this covenant, there's a saying that goes, either all is well or all is hell. And that those two things were conditional. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 15. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. Verse number 20, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. He said, if you keep the commandments, everything's going to be great. I've set two things before you, life and good, or death and evil. Based on what? Obedience. Based on obedience. That's why Samuel says to King Saul, he says, it's better to obey than to sacrifice. Why? Because God put a high precedent on obedience. Amen. The covenant based on obedience, that they were going to have this kingdom and everything was going to be established by them. And look in Deuteronomy 30 where we are, but look in verse 17. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away, and worship other gods, and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. And I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. God says, I'm imploring you, keep up your end of the bargain. Keep your end of the covenant, because if you keep the covenant, more blessings than you can ever imagine. But if you don't keep the covenant of this law that he gives, then I'm going to bring cursings upon you. You and I, we've never experienced anything like this in our lives. Never. Why? Because God gave this from the time that he established his covenant with Moses. He ran this covenant all the way through until the death of Jesus Christ. Amen. And at the death of Jesus Christ, what happens? The veil was rent in twain, Amen. Ripped from the top to the bottom. And that rip from the top to the bottom, and all the priests should have been able to figure it out when they saw what happened and knew what was going on. When that curtain was opened and they walked in those doors and didn't die, when they walked into the main portion of the tabernacle and didn't die because they were staring at the Ark of the Covenant, they should have known something was different. And so all of these things that God brought on to the nation of Israel, he brought all these things from the time of Moses all the way through into the death of Christ. And, you know, when you look at these covenants and you're looking at all these things that God established and all the commandments and all the things that he desired of them, there were so many things that were beneficial to them. But the law itself seems like it's so many things, but the law was not that grievous. God had provided everything for them in his law. And they had to keep, they just had to follow God and keep the commandments of God in these things. There was nothing grievous. By the time Christ came around, you know what he said? He said, the law is not the problem, you're the problem. And he was pointing to the leaders, to the chief priests and the scribes and the Pharisees. Why? Because they were exacting more than the law demanded. They were exacting on the people more than God had put on the people. And when they started doing that, then everybody started getting weary and it was tiring and it was too much. And so what does God do when Jesus Christ dies on the cross and that law is done? That's why you have Paul, who lived under the law, strictly under the law, and was obedient to the law and was obedient to the things. He lived this a strictest life as a Pharisee. He was law abiding. He was killing Christians because he thought they were against the Jewish religion, and they were turning from the Jews and preaching some other salvation other than obeying the law and the commandments. And when he had his conversion, why do you think he goes in and spends so much time in the synagogue? And when he writes the book of Galatians, he says, listen, because of Christ, we now know that no one can be justified under the law. Okay. Now, what Paul was not saying is that no one ever could have been justified by the law. That's not what he was saying. He was writing all of Galatians, all of Romans, all of these books he wrote, saying, in light of Christ, we now look at the law and say, you don't have to keep all of the law in order to have favor with God. You need to accept Christ. Amen. Paul wasn't writing Galatians and saying that the law was never any good for anybody. He says, contrary, the law was good. It let me know what sin was. And so when I saw the sacrifice of Christ, I said, I need Christ because I can't keep the law. But the law, as you know, as we get into it a little bit more, the law, it had all the provisions for their mistakes. It had all the provisions for the sin that they would commit. It had provision for national sin. It had provision for individual sin. It had provision for family sin. They would bring the sacrifices and they would do these things and it would appease God with the sacrifice of the bulls and goats. And God would look at them as justified when they would do the wrong thing and then obey the commandments for what God said to do. So there was provision for everything there. And so we see from the giving of the law to the nation of Israel. See, that's why you as a saved Christian, you can't do everything the world does. Because when God saved you, he put a Holy Spirit in your heart and he's given you a book and he says, no, live this way. Amen. Live holy and separated. We're not Jews. But God desires things of us in our Christian life that we can't act like the world. We can't live like, we don't have the freedoms to do all the things the world does. Because of his word and because of being saved and born again and bought with a price. Amen. And Paul says, no, you used to live this way, now live this way. You used to do those things. Don't even let those things be mentioned of you anymore. You live after Christ. You follow after Christ. You do right. You do righteousness according to what God says. Why? God calls the Jews out and says, listen, the Gentiles, I'm taking care of the Gentiles. I'm judging them according to the law that I put in their heart, according to the sacrifice that I've spoken to them about, according to me dealing with them directly. Right? Like the priests we find, like Melchizedek. Right? Melchizedek was a priest unto God, and Abraham runs into him and he offers his tithes to the priest, even though Abraham was called out of God. And so God does this to Melchizedek, who was not a Jew. Abraham was the first guy, right? He was called out. He was a Hebrew. And so Melchizedek was following after God, just like everyone pre-Abraham was following after God was following after God, just like Job, who was talking with God and walking after God. God said, I'm dealing with the Gentiles. I'm dealing with them. But as the Jews, my covenant with you is the law, in obedience of the law. And with obedience, there's blessing, and with disobedience, there's cursing. And God establishes this all the way up into Christ. And then Paul walks around saying, why are you trying to keep these Gentiles under the law of circumcision? Circumcision doesn't avail anything. Circumcision, uncircumcision, it doesn't matter in Christ, is what Paul was saying. Forget the law. Forget the judging everybody of these holy days like the Sabbath day that was given to the Jews. We're not worried about the Sabbath day at all. You know what we're actually going to do as Gentiles? We're going to meet on the first day of the week. Forget the seventh day of the week and it being... God has done away with that. That was for His people. And don't let people judge you of all these holy days. That's what Paul says. And he says, this whole thing of all this law stuff that was, man, was so ingrained in the Jewish people, once they understood that Jesus Christ for righteousness was the end of the law for righteousness, they said, well, hold on here. We're really comfortable with how we're living our lives, all religious-like. And we're comfortable with the system we got going on here, and we think everyone should be doing the same things that we're doing. It wasn't that Paul was saying, you just have the Gentiles, if you're saved, you just have all the liberty in the world to just forget everything. No, he didn't say that. He said, what, should we go out and sin because of God's grace? He says, God forbid that we should do that. It's because of God's grace in our lives, and that doesn't give us excuse to go out and do whatever we want. That's not what Paul was saying. But he's saying, we have now liberty in Christ. It wasn't the direct letter of the law that they had to follow with all these things. And they said the blood of bulls and the goats and everything, that's out. That's out. Why? Because we have a final sacrifice in Christ. But he established all this through the law, through this Mosaic covenant that he makes with the children of Israel. And he draws this out. And it's important to understand this kingdom covenant that God is trying to bring in and a covenant that he is establishing with his people. This is not a Gentile covenant. God is not demanding that all the Gentiles keep the Sabbath. God didn't do that. God didn't demand that all Gentiles be circumcised. He says, Abraham, take your kids and circumcise them. Take all your boys and you circumcise them, all the whole house. Why? Because this is a covenant that I'm making with you, Abraham. I'm making this separation with you. And so he didn't exact that on the Gentiles. This was a specific people and a covenant with a specific group of people. And they had to keep these covenants. They had to keep this covenant and these commandments in order to obtain favor with God. And if they didn't, the Bible says you'll be cut off from your people. And that usually meant death. And so this covenant was a covenant of obedience. It was a covenant of works that he said, you have to follow these things. And that is not the covenant that God made with you and I. Thank God for that. I mean, if I'm picking a time, I'm picking this one. By the grace of God outpoured on our lives, we can have salvation and we can live for him and do our best with everything that he's given to us. And thank God for that. But this covenant was different. And he continues with this covenant, and we'll look at it. And he establishes a ruler in his kingdom. And of course, that's Moses, and we'll look at those things. And he establishes all this in this kingdom as he starts to bring in his law and his covenant and those things. So we'll continue to look at God dealing with Israel here specifically in this Mosaic covenant in the age or dispensation of the law. And we'll continue that next week, Lord willing. So, all right, let's go ahead and pray tonight. Lord, thank you so much again for your word, the truth of your word. Lord, thank you for the simplicity of your word, written so that we can understand, taught to us by the Holy Spirit of God. Thank you, Lord, for your many blessings. Lord, encourage your people this week. Thank you for those that have come out tonight. Lord, I pray that they've gleaned some truth from your word, some understanding from your word. And Lord, I pray that you strengthen us to go about serving you this week in all things. Lord, bless class tomorrow and Christians in Recovery and church on Thursday. And Lord, bless all things, Lord, as we try to do them to your honor and glory. And Lord, thank you for being good to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed tonight.